Hey, Real Ghost Stories Online family. It's Sunday, and we're going to start doing something interesting over here at Real Ghost Stories Online, calling it True Crime Sunday, where we'll play one of three brand new episodes of our other podcast, Dark Side Of. It's a true crime podcast. So if you love those dark stories and following true crime, you need to subscribe to Dark Side Of. Myself, Carol Hughes, and Stacey Cole, all hosted every single week with new episodes every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. Search Dark Side Of wherever you download podcasts. But right now, enjoy one of three brand new episodes of Dark Side Of from this week. Today on the Dark Side Of, Disney employees, a judge among 108 arrested in a Florida sting operation aimed at catching traffickers and predators. Woman accused of shooting her boyfriend says she did not do a very good job cleaning up the blood. And smart devices watching us everywhere and violating our privacy? Not necessarily new, but we'll find out how in-depth that goes today on the Dark Side Of.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side Of.
That indeed it is. Welcome to the program. Press subscribe wherever you download the podcast so you don't miss any episodes. Brand new ones every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. It's Tony and Stacey Cole with you on today's episode. What is going on?
Hello.
Hello. What's going
on? Woman of few words today. I've been imbibing on a little coffee and Bailey's because, you know, it's that time of year.
Yes, it's that time of year. It's St. Patrick's Day, the day we're recording this.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
And I work in, well, I by the time this hits the internets, I will no longer be at my clinic, but I can't drink while I'm on the job. I work at a veterinary clinic. I can't do that.
They don't allow that in Wisconsin anymore. It used to be, vets used to totally be allowed to drink. So did doctors. That was like
so against their license. Yeah. I'll tell you though, they would be able to put up with the clients a little easier if they were drunk. That's all I'm going to say about that.
I guess the question in Wisconsin is how many actually are.
I poured myself a stiff drink.
Yeah. Well, that's good. The last time I'm thinking of beverages in Wisconsin. Okay, here's the true story. It wasn't St. Patrick's Day, but it was Groundhog's Day,
which is a reason to drink.
Yes, at like sunrise. And
yes,
this was 2001. It was 2001. It was you and me. We were at the center thing downtown for Groundhog's Day. and we were going to read the thing, you know, the whatever, the groundhog.
The proclamation it wasn't a groundhog. What did they have? Like a
chinchilla? I don't know.
A guinea pig? I don't know. Something.
It was like a hibernating bear that they pulled out of the ground and they slapped it on the head. They're like, hey, do something.
Wake something up.
Yeah. It's like, I'm sleeping, asshole. But I remember I did not have like any coffee cups. But I had like, remember those giant coffee cups from like Friends? Those.
Yes.
Yes. I had like two of those that I got from Pier One. And I thought, well, this is big. It'll maybe spill less. I don't know. I'm like 18. All I had to do was walk down the stairs and go out my door. And then there we are. So I made a very, very stiff Kahlua and coffee that morning and brought it down there. And by the time we got to read the Groundhog Proclamation, I think I was probably three sheets to the wind.
You were so blasted.
Yeah.
You know, I forgot. And it was bone chilling cold. Yes. If I remember correctly.
Yep. It was
horrible. Oh, my God. The stupid things that we had to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I had to go stand outside in the middle of downtown. Yep. And there was maybe 20 people, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, there was hardly anybody there.
Yeah, nobody was going to get up that early.
No.
It was so freaking cold. And there we are standing there pretending to give a shit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
and we read this proclamation for a groundhog that is not in front of us. There's just some like, it was some rodent of some sort that they pulled out of a box, and the thing looked furious and angry and probably bit the poor guy. Oh my God.
He died of rabies 5 days later. But no, yeah, I remember that. And cause it was like, oh, it's horribly cold. And that's, and then everybody's like, I wasn't even planning on like bringing a drink or anything, but I think the night before it's like, oh yeah, you know, bring a coffee. Everybody's like saying, I'm like, oh,
wink,
like we can do that. So I'm like, all right.
Oh my, with my God, the things we've been through together.
My friends,
I had forgotten about that.
My friend's coffee mug and a lot of liquor and a rodent. Yep. In the cold.
Yeah. Ah,
the good old days.
Oh my God.
Let's go to our first story of the day. Disney employees, a judge, also among the 108 arrested in a Florida sting operation, aimed to catch traffickers and predators. I had heard about some of the Disney stuff earlier in the year. I wonder if this is new. An undercover investigation spearheaded by the Polk County Sheriff's Office in Florida led to the arrest of more than 100 people, all charged with crimes related to human trafficking, prostitution, and child predators. On Wednesday, Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd held a press conference along with partners from neighboring law enforcement agencies and nonprofit organizations, announcing the arrest of 108 men and women who fell into the detective's trap. The sting operation, which began on March 8th and lasted 6 days, was named Operation March Sadness 2.
That name, dude.
Oh my God, they even have a fucking bracket.
Yeah, they do. There's a picture of it.
I see
on the, yeah, if you take a look on, I think it's People's website, there's a little picture of this bracket that they had of all these, as they called them, losers, not winners.
Judd explained that the name was inspired by the NCAA March Madness tournament we came up with the other night at dinner. We thought this will be great. This will get the troops all rallied up to go get those predators. Make them feel
isn't that just cute?
Make them feel like basketball stars. I'm glad he cleared up in case you didn't follow along that it was a reference to NCAA March Madness. We have our own bracket, Judge said from the podium, but instead of brackets of winners, we have brackets of losers.
Losers, losers, losers.
It's almost like I'm picturing like Dwight Schrute as it's wonderful that they got these people, but it's just seemingly presented in a very callous manner.
Well, and such a frivolous, fun manner too, because how many people at their place of work, wink, wink, you're not supposed to do this, but we all put together brackets and, you know, post them on the wall and then somebody gets a prize at the end. This is something that we all participate in, but we don't think of child predators.
No. No.
Yuck.
If you were the victim of one of these predators and you're looking at the police website and you see him, oh, look, there's the guy that raped your sister. He's, he's in the final rounds. Like, what?
It's not good.
No, it's a very bad PR.
You know, and it's one thing if maybe internally that's kind of how you're terming this whole thing, calling it this way, but to actually release this.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've got Disney employees in there, which, first of all, Disney is the most magical place on earth and kids will go running. You know, and I'm not saying it was a mascot. They didn't say who it was necessarily. But, you know, you would hope that you could let your kid just run free in Disney, you know, with not a care in the freaking world.
Except for alligators and predators.
Well, don't forget about those alligators in Florida. Those are pretty messed up.
Well, happened. That happened a couple of years ago. Now there's like signs all over the place. Gators.
Alligator came out of one of those ponds and just snatched a kid.
Yeah, and I've walked on that beach many, many times, and it's just like,
somebody was watching you the whole time.
It was creepy and weird, and the signs really remind you exactly what happened, which didn't make it that magical. But during the lengthy press conference announcing the mass arrest, judge spent several minutes highlighting suspects whose allegations he found particularly troubling. Among them were Disney employees, a worker at the Fun Spot Family Amusement Park, a woman accused of trafficking another young woman, and a retired Illinois judge. The Disney employees arrested include Xavier Jackson, a 27-year-old lifeguard at Disney's Polynesian Village Resort, who was charged with 3 counts of harmful material and 1 count of unlawful communication for allegedly sending explicit photos to a detective whom he believed was a 14-year-old girl. God.
Okay, this guy, wait a second. This guy's 27.
Yeah.
And explicit photos, you know he sent a dick pic.
Yeah.
No woman wants a dick pic. Can we talk about this for a second? Is this legit?
I'm guessing that's what he said. I don't know, but okay. I'm hearing you. Yeah, go ahead.
Women don't want dick pics.
Yeah,
we are all about the imagination. If you send this to us, it does not look attractive. I don't care if you dress it up. I don't care if you put little googly eyes on it. There is nothing about a penis that is attractive. We don't want to see it.
Okay, so what is the expectation? And I'm proud to say, in my life, I have never sent one. So I've always just kind of assumed she doesn't want to see that. So let's say you do receive something from your significant other as a guy. Just respond in kind of like ooh, hearts, googly eyes, things like that. No return of the photo. Like, I'll show you yours if you show you mine.
Well, you know, but that's the thing. Men are very turned on by visual stimulus. Mm-hmm. Women are all about the imagination. We want the mystery. We don't want to see your goods. Mm-hmm. We want to think about them. We want to create this picture in our minds of what the goods are going to be. But if you send that photo, boom, done. There's nothing.
Well, it's even better. Instead of that, what you should do, guys, is use the recording app on your phone and whisper in a really creepy low voice something something that you just think is wonderful, and then send that audio and see what she thinks of that.
Why do I think you've done this once before?
No, oh God, no. What do you think would be the creepier to receive? A guy that thinks he's being romantic and like the audio just sounds like a stalker?
Kanye West?
Or would you rather get the dick pic? Which one would you rather, or like Sean Mullins' Lullaby? That's sort of a, she grew up in the country. Lullaby. You know, he talks real creepy. Something like that. That sort of a tone. Or the dick pic.
We should take a poll and see what the results are and reveal them next week.
Dick pic versus Sean Mullins' creepy voicemail.
But seriously, women don't want that. So, Xavier Jackson, you need some help in more ways than one. You need to learn what women like. Don't be sending pics. We don't want them.
This message brought to you by Crest, the whitener toothpaste. You got a title sponsor, and somehow make money off of those.
Anyway. I love it.
But yeah, don't be sending dick pics. That's the lesson learned here.
Yeah, if there's any message to take away from this entire podcast, it's that.
Willickson Feedley, who works at Cosmic Ray's Starlight Cafe in Tomorrowland, and Ralph Lisi, who works in information technology, were also arrested for allegedly seeking prostitutes. Walt Disney World has placed the 3 employees on unpaid leave, People confirms. In addition, suspects whom Judd identified as a software developer for Disney has never been employed by the company, according to a representative. In addition to Xavier Jackson, 3 of the 108 suspects are accused of being child sexual predators. Timothy Finley, a 39-year-old handyman, is charged with traveling to meet a young child, resisting arrest, attempted lewd battery, and transmission of explicit material. Shannon Johnson, a 41-year-old, is charged with traveling to meet a 13-year-old girl, attempted lewd battery, and transmission of explicit material. Jody Rose, 36, facing 11 felony charges for allegedly sending sexually explicit material to who he believed was a 14-year-old girl, saying, "Don't tell the cops." Judd also singled out Richard Jackson, accused of seeking a prostitute who deals with children, as an employee at the Fun Spot Amusement Park. Nelson Cruz, a Cracker Barrel manager, who allegedly told authorities he was seeking a prostitute after an argument with his wife, Tiffany Nash, a KFC manager, with 61 prior criminal charges, who was allegedly caught bringing a trafficking victim to what she believed was a sexual encounter, and others whose faces appear on the bracket of arrests. So I guess it's kind of the lesson in that little piece there. When you go back up to the counter at KFC and say, I ordered original recipe, not extra tasty crispy, don't expect the person with 61 priors to give a shit.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
This sounds like, you know, there's a secondary meaning to I'd like a breast.
It's like, if you just did your job better, they got 61 priors. Trust me, chicken is the last thing on their mind.
But you know what? They're probably not doing background checks when they hire at those places, are they?
I can't imagine they could afford to at this point.
Mm-mm.
I mean, right now it's just like, do you have a pulse? Can you come in? Can you yeah. show up? Which makes it even scarier now to like eat out. Perhaps most notably, Judd exposed the accusations against a 66-year-old Daniel Peters, a retired judge from Cook County, Illinois, allegedly caught seeking an escort. According to Judd, Peters told authorities after his arrest that he had also served as a director of professional regulations for the Cook County Sheriff's Office earlier in his career. No, I'm not kidding you, Judd remarked. Auburndale Police Chief Andy Ray addressed reporters after Judd to thank all parties involved in the successful operation. So there you go. Lots of people rounded up.
This judge, what the hell? Why? Why would you know? You know, the other people who got rounded up in this sting mm-hmm. operation, you might say, well, maybe they just didn't realize how severe this really is. If one person in this group knew what mm-hmm. the consequences were, it's this judge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fucking idiot.
Yeah. I guess my question, like, okay, big sting operation. I guess, do we only get like big amounts of people like this when we do massive stings? Or why can't we always be doing this shit to like... Because, I mean, this is just probably a fraction of the amount that are out there. I mean, it seems like a lot. It looks great on paper, but yeah. I mean, it's scary. I mean, honestly, you got to think, though, too. I mean, the sheer amount of human beings who work under the umbrella of Disney, if you just go by odds, there's got to be a handful. I mean, in almost any large organization, there's going to be just sheer odds. If you truly dived into the depths of every single person's background, which I would hope Disney would do a little bit better job of and probably will be going forward. I don't know. I mean, it's just they're out there.
Especially if they're going to be exposed to children.
You know,
if they're working behind the scenes and maybe never have any interactions with kids, maybe you don't need to do a background check, but a lifeguard at Disney's Polynesian Village Resort, you're seeing kids in bathing suits. If you're one of those disgusting human beings.
Yeah.
No, just no.
We went and swam at that pool.
Yeah.
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 It's kinda,
I have too.
Yeah. It's interesting. If you look at the, If you blow up the Operation March Sadness thing, you can look at the people and kind of go, a lot of them, I guess, if you just want to profile them. I don't know. I feel like I've pretty good creepdar or predatordar or whatever you want to call this, you know, for mm-hmm. people like that. Most of them I look at and go, if I had to like point him out at a store, like, who do you think's the child predator? Probably that guy right over there. On most of them. But every once in a while, there's a face where you're like, don't see it there. But, you know, that's the scary part. Have you ever had it where you knew somebody and knew them for a while, and then all of a sudden, boom, they get arrested for something like this, and you're like, holy crap, like, that's the last person I ever expected that from?
Yes, I graduated with somebody who was on America's Most Wanted.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he murdered 4 or 5 people.
Wow.
And he's the kind of guy that you never, ever would have suspected. But he was a serial killer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was he voted so that?
I know all about that.
In like senior year, was he voted that or anything? Like most likely to be a serial killer?
No, he was not most likely voted to be a serial killer. Excuse me. He actually was a very nice, polite, kind individual. He sat, I think, behind me in at least one or two classes. Mm. And like 4 or 5 years after graduation, I saw him on America's Most Wanted. Scared the living shit out of me.
Well, would you rather see someone on America's Most Wanted or Unsolved Mysteries?
Oh, now that's an interesting question.
Or Rescue 911. Those are like the three of the day, you know.
Oh my God. I'd rather see Rescue 911.
He's trapped in a cave. He never got out.
I'm okay with that. You can be trapped in a cave. I don't want to know that I sat behind a serial killer in homeroom.
Yeah, I don't blame you. That is a creepy one. I had one where, I think I've said this on the other shows a time or two, but since we're on the topic, a radio person that I worked with in, it wasn't up there. It was, it was in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And he was a morning guy on an oldie station. Very well known, been in the market forever. You drive down the big highway, there's a big old billboard with his face on it. I mean, it was just like you knew who he was. And his office was right next to mine. I was over at the country station at the time. And he always just seemed to me like nice guy. Like he was kind of like dad-like type, you know, figure almost. I wasn't like super close with him, but he was just always, he never gave off that vibe. Like there was plenty of people in that building that I would have gone, I wouldn't be surprised. Him, last one. Always like, hey, how you doing? You know, need anything, this or that? Very, but not in a creepy way. And I mean, it was very respectable or respected by everyone in the office. Men, women did not do the creepy thing. And all of a sudden one day he's not in the office. It's like, what's going on? Turns out gets busted in like South Carolina or something. It was somewhere in that over on the East Coast for doing, you know, kind of like the Chris Hansen thing. He thought he was going to meet up with like a 14-year-old that he'd been communicating with online. It was an FBI agent.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I was like, holy shit. So he was like, he was the program director. He was the morning guy. Like, it's like, oh my God.
But yeah. In radio, you can have groupies. So why did he have to travel? All he'd have to do is just answer the request line and schmooze with somebody and bam, there you go.
That's true. I don't know. I don't know.
Yuck.
But I mean, it was just what always upset me about it. I mean, obviously it's a horrible thing, but was that my radar never went off. I was like, damn it, I didn't see him coming.
He fooled you.
It's like, I pride myself on catching these people because I've caught a couple already. But like him, nothing went off. But yeah.
That's grossing me out.
Yeah, he was a nice character. Let's go to another story here. Woman accused of shooting boyfriend says she did not do a very good job cleaning up the blood. I guess that's one way of looking at it. Interesting to hear.
Okay, I need to know, what did she use to clean? I mean, are we talking about bleach? Are we talking... What's her problem?
I'm not sure. Let's find out. Pittsburgh woman was charged Monday with killing her boyfriend and dumping his body in the McKees Rocks alleyway, police said. Brooke Lank, 24, is charged with criminal homicide and abuse of a corpse in the killing of 22-year-old Anthony Lofton of Pittsburgh. Mr. Lofton was found dead in an alleyway behind a residence in the 300 block of Russellwood Avenue on Sunday morning. According to police and the county medical examiner, police said he had been shot in the head and was pronounced dead at the scene. According to a criminal complaint, Ms. Lank told police she shot Mr. Lofton in the head while he was driving a Ford Taurus. Mr. Lofton was in the passenger seat. The couple had been fighting, the complaint said, and Ms. Lank told police Mr. Lofton threatened her with a gun and took her car the night before the homicide. Ms. Lank said Mr. Lofton had asked her Sunday to drive to McKeesport so he could make a drug deal. But during the drive, the couple began to fight. According to the complaint, Ms. Lank said she reached for Mr. Lofton's gun and shot him in the head. When she noticed he was still breathing, she shot him two more times. Ms. Lank told police she panicked and threw the gun out the window. She then dumped Mr. Lofton's body in Derby Alley. I obviously didn't do a very good job, Ms. Lank told police about her attempt to clean up the evidence. According to the complaint, Jarrell Phillips helped Ms. Lank dump Mr. Lofton's body. Mr. Phillips told police that Ms. Lank called him to help her and go for a ride. While in the vehicle, Mr. Phillips said he thought Mr. Lofton was asleep until Ms. Lank asked him to move his body. Mr. Phillips said Ms. Lank told him Mr. Lofton had threatened her with a gun and that she had to shoot him. Mr. Phillips has not been charged with the crime. Ms. Lank was arrested Monday and is being held in the Allegheny County Jail.
You found some good stories for this week. This is really twisted, because why would you shoot somebody in your car? I mean, first of all, it's twisted.
Mm-hmm.
But second of all, how loud was that?
Yeah. Yeah. And you got to think, there's no cleaning that up in that car. I mean, it's hard enough cleaning your car when your child shakes up a soda and opens it. And then you will find sticky shit everywhere for the next 5 years. Like, oh,
same with shooting somebody in the head.
Probably even worse. You know, that's and do you got leather seats? Do you got cloths? The fabric, that's going to depend on what you're going to get out of that.
If you've got cloth, it's over. It's done.
You got to really get leather if you're going to kill somebody in the car. I mean, everybody knows
there's no resale on that vehicle. That's totaled.
Even in today's market, you're still going to get downgraded for that. Not a lot, but a little. But judging by her mugshot, she has a Hello Kitty tattoo right underneath her left eye.
And I love cats. That's appealing.
She got bright red hair, and it looks like the word cold tattooed on her other cheek. Looks like someone who's well-balanced.
Wow. You know, at least you know what you're getting into when you first see her. I mean, the word cold. Yeah, she is cold.
Hello, Kitty. Cold. I mean, and ultimately what you're going to look at here is, I mean, I'm sure she has a lovely background. It's some sort of cycle of insanity going on.
Has to be.
But yeah, that's.
You know, anger management is really important. And, you know, so they got in a fight. Dump him. Be done with him. You don't have to kill him.
Mm-hmm. Here you think you're just going for your, you know, Sunday drug deal drive, and you may go hit up a Denny's or a Perkins later. But nope, you shot him. And that's going to make an impact on if you're going to go get chicken fingers after the drug deal.
And it really puts an impact on your future dating life, too.
Yeah, that's something you probably don't want to put on the Tinder profile.
No, I wouldn't.
We got two stories. We got smart devices and Papa John's. Let's talk about Papa John's wrap up, because this is an interesting one. As of this recording on the 17th of March, Papa John's faces backlash after the U.S. franchisee refuses to close 190 stores. This is on Yahoo News. They're always like kind of on the wrong side of shit.
I was just going to say that, because what the guy, I don't even know his name, but he kind of made some racist comments.
Yeah.
You know, a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And they had to deal with a lot of cleanup over that.
They usually like kind of come to after a while, and it's like, yeah, we're sorry. We should have done that. It's like, okay, everybody's leaving. I listened to the argument. I kind of get it, but I really don't at the same time. Pizza chain Papa John's is facing heavy criticism on social media after a U.S. franchise operator in Russia refused to close 190 stores, even after the company said it would suspend all corporate operations there after Moscow's invasion of Ukraine. So it is an operator, but the operator, Christopher Wayne, told the New York Times that he won't close the pizza shops controlled by his company, but mostly owned by the Russians. The 190, he won't close the pizza shops controlled by his company, but mostly owned by, okay. The 190 stores are the vast majority of Russia's Papa John's locations. The best thing I can do as an individual is show compassion for the people, my employees, franchisees, and customers, without judging them based on the politicians in power, Wayne 45 of Colorado told the newspaper. So he is over here, you know, in safe land. And I'm imagining he's making some money on the pizzas still.
Everything is closed. So where else are people going to go to get food? You know, McDonald's pulled out. Starbucks is done.
I mean, even if they are open, how many rubles does a pizza cost today?
I don't know the conversion rate. Do you?
It's like 5 bazillion. I don't know. The vast majority of Russian people are very clear-headed and understand the dark gravity of the situation they're in, he said. And at the end of the day, they appreciate a good pizza.
No, they want their country back. They don't give a shit about your pizza.
They're not like, let's have some American pizza.
Oh my God. They are so much more worried about other things. They want their country back. Yeah. Putin is bombing hospitals and maternity wards. Yeah. He's taken doctors and a hospital staff hostage.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit about pizza.
Yeah. I don't think it's on their mind right now. I mean, if you want to do something, I would say, okay, if the argument is, I'm going to keep these Papa John's open and every check I'm getting is going straight to Ukrainian aid or something. And then you're like literally taking money out of Russia and then putting it to there through pizza, which
exactly.
But the thing is, if you started doing that, he would probably, you know, all the Papa John's would probably be, you know, Papa Putin's by the end of the week. So Starbucks president and CEO Kevin Johnson announced the suspension of business activities in Russia March 8th, and Yum Brands said it was suspending operations at KFC company-owned restaurants, and that it was working on doing the same with Pizza Hut. Working on. I always like these terms where it's like, we're stopping here. We're working on that one.
So, yeah, we're working on a better tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't like when you start getting terms like that. Doesn't mean shit. It's like, and there's a lot more money to be made at car dealership broadcasts or over at the pet store or this or that. You know, when you're in radio, it's like we're paying you nothing. But hey, you can go. Yes, we'll get you a lot of those free McDonald's coupons. They're all yours. Papa John's International is not currently receiving any royalties from these franchise stores in Russia. Okay. Papa John's International does not own or operate any restaurants in Russia, the company said in a statement. So, okay.
Yeah, but wait a second. They are allowing them to use those names so they could pull their name from those franchises, couldn't they?
I would imagine that you could go and demand that they basically reject the your violation of some sort of agreement, and then you no longer are a franchisee.
I mean, what if they were doing something illegal or they were not abiding by health standards? They could pull that franchise and say, we don't agree with how you're operating your business.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're allowing them to still use that Papa John's name.
Yeah.
That is in a way of saying, you know what? We're okay. We're okay with this.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like kind of, I mean, I get it. They're not the ones that are doing this technically, but it's like being the parent in the room while another child is running around with a loaded gun. Like,
exactly.
It's not my kid. It's like, I don't have to stand up and do anything. It's not mine.
No, but you're the adult in the room. You need to stand up and go, you know what?
Exactly.
This is not acceptable behavior.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where they need to stand up and say, we're not doing this. This franchisee is totally off the rails and we're denouncing them or we're whatever, pulling their franchise, everything. You know, and that would make sense. Then okay, cool. They're not doing it. It's some rogue idiot that is doing this, which does happen. And then you're not going to feel like the brand's doing it. But yeah. I don't know. It just kind of,
I really feel like they could stand up and say, you're not going to use our name. You're just not.
I would think that they could. I'm going to guess that maybe in the next couple of days, if they start getting boycotted, which they seem to be. So
they show their support with their feet. And if they don't like something, they don't patronize the place. However, I had an issue with Starbucks for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only because it lasted 3 days because I need my Starbucks. But for 3 days, I boycotted them. They didn't know it, but I boycotted them for 3 days and I forgot why now.
So it was a very impact. This is like, you're going to make a difference. This is like marching over a bridge or something. You not going to Starbucks for 3 days.
For 3 days. I drove past the Starbucks and by God, I made an effort to not go there. Wow. And like I said, they had no idea I was doing this, but 3 days later, I broke down and went back, and I'm sure they felt it somewhere in their pocketbook that I didn't get my whatever latte, but I made a statement. Again, I wish I could remember why. have no idea why I boycotted him for 3 days.
First time I ever went to a Starbucks was I was with you, and it was when that one opened in Wausau. Because we didn't have a Starbucks, and they were still like, they were starting to pop up everywhere. It was still kind of rare to find them. And I remember we all like went down there, and they were like, "We're going to show you how we make the coffee." And they showed us, and they all kind of talked like this. It was like listening to NPR making coffee. And they're like, "And we use this type of this bean, and you have to use the right type of water. We strain the water through cat's anal glands, and we feel that that gives the water this very unique flavor and caffeine once it comes out of the anal gland press that we have here behind the counter." Stefan, could you bring that over? Yes, yes. Thank you, Stefan. Stefan, he makes the best. Thank you, Stefan. Oh, yes. Thank you, Stefan.
Don't you bash my Starbucks.
That was what it was like.
Do you remember me frothing at the mouth? I was
yes.
so ecstatic.
It was
like a podunk town that I lived in, that we lived in, was getting a Starbucks.
It was like that every day for like, I think the rest of that summer, it's like, who's bringing Starbucks in?
Oh, seriously, that was our crack. The drug dealers in town were like, "I don't know, we've got no business."
Then everybody put on like 20.
They're all at Starbucks.
Everybody realized, oh, those Frappuccinos that we're having every morning, oh, they're like a day's worth of calories.
And sugar. And sugar. Yeah, it was bad. I'm sure I went up a pant size then. But,
Good times.
All right.
That's going to wrap up today's episode of The Dark Side Of. If you like the show, check out our Patreon page, search Dark Side Of, or go to darksidepod.com. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our episodes. New ones every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. Until next time, for Stacey and all of us at Dark Side Of, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.